chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. We're going to have a Bible drill this morning. How many know what a Bible drill is? Bible drill is not something you buy at Sears that says Craftsman on it. Bible drill is searching through the Word of God. You can't buy anything at Sears anymore anyway, can you? No Sears anymore. What a bummer. But praise God, we still got the Word of God. Amen? Psalm chapter 51. Brother, what a blessing it's been already to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to look at verse number 10, but we're going to look at several others before we go on. Let's take a look. Psalm 51, verse number 10. Just the one verse right now. Would you read that out loud with me? Psalm 51, verse number 10. Let's read it out loud together. Let's begin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Where's your heart right now? Our calendar now says 2020. And so many illustrations can be used with 2020. It's being able to look back. There's an old saying, looking back, you see things more clearly with a 2020 type of vision as opposed to decisions. Looking ahead, God, we'd love to have that 2020 vision, see everything God sees sometimes, but God's gracious to us, and He keeps some of that a mystery for us in faith to Him. But right now, where are you at? Where's your spirit? An angry newspaper subscriber had been mistakenly put in the obituaries. He stormed into the reporter's office and demanded an apology be printed the next day. The reporter said, "I never write retractions, but what I will do tomorrow is list you in the birth column and give you a brand new start." Wow. Parents don't really like that part of it, a brand new start. But, you know, in reality, we get one chance to start new. But God provides us time to start again. Revival. Revive really means, or renew, means to renew or be new again. To be life again. Revive. Restored. To be stored again. To be put together again. God's plan is for us, according to this verse, is to live in the right spirit. The right spirit. The Bible makes the request, God, please renew a right, not right behavior. Not right family. Listen, not even right church. He says, renew a right spirit. Where? Within me. Within me. I was just struck last week. We had the missionaries going to Peru. The Millers, I think their names were. Boy, what a blessing they were. And God really moved him to use a particular. I didn't tell him. I don't tell these guys what to preach other than the Bible. Make sure it's the Bible. And God leads them, and he preached a part of message about revival, refreshing. Isn't that a coincidence? We got revival meetings coming up. We've got plans to see God do some great work, but I want to tell you something. We don't have to wait that long, amen? God says we can have a right spirit within us right now. But I would like to share with you four reasons we need revival in 2020. That is the title this morning. If you take notes, four reasons we need revival in 2020. And since there's only four, I encourage you, please write these things down. See what God can do in your life, especially in the life of the believer. Before we go any further, we're going to talk about that. Let's pray. Ask God to help us before we do. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace to us. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you not just for the new life, the born-again life of salvation, but life again, where we can become renewed, restored, revived. And Father, I pray if we're at that point where that's got to take place, we're in such desperate need of you, Lord. We know we are. Now, God, I pray this would be another step in that direction, that the Spirit would be in line with you. And we ask, Father, for your help about that. Lord, as we consider the Word of God, would you open our eyes to who we are compared to you, compared to our Savior? When changes are needed, and they need to be made, Lord, I pray we wouldn't wait. we would do it today. We would change for you, molded into the image of Christ. Father, whatever that takes, may you get the glory. If there's one soul with us this morning, Lord, you know everyone here. You know where we're at in comparison to where we need to be. If there's one soul who needs to call on Christ for salvation, Lord, would you make this the day of salvation for them? What a joy it would be. What a great day it is already. It would be even better to see a soul come to Christ or just make a decision for you. May you get the glory through all things. I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit, that these would be your words, not my own. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good to be in God's house this morning. Glad to see you with us. We're so blessed to have Carol Tomlinson with us. She don't want to be focused on, but I want to tell you, we've been praying for you, sister. And we're just blessed to have you and your daughter-in-law with you today. Thank you for joining us. Our service got better when you walked in the door. Four reasons. Look again. Verse number 10, Psalm 51. He says, "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Why do we need revival in the year 2020? Number one, because of our tendency for coolness. Our tendency for coolness. How many have ever boiled water before? How many have ever thought that was a meal, boiled water? That is not a meal. But when you boil water, you put it on the stove, maybe you put it in the microwave, wherever you happen to cook it or put it on heat, you boil that, and a certain over time, over a few minutes, that water begins to boil and bubble. Now, if you remove that pot from the source of heat, what happens to the water? Over time, begins to cool. Did you know that's the way it is in nature? That's the way it is in the spirit, on our Christian walk. The closer we get to Christ, the hotter it is, but the more we go on cruise control and get away from the heat source, the cooler it is. It's natural for things that are hot to cool off. Even the spiritual life takes work to heat up, but it does not take work to cool off. You know, you don't have to put that boiling pot in the refrigerator. You just have to leave it out. And very rapidly sometimes, the heat escapes. Why do we spend billions of dollars in America on insulation on our homes? Because heat escapes. Why do we buy these cups? Not like that. Some are silver. Some are have flowers on them. Some look like you can take them out deer hunting. I like those kind. Insulated coffee cups. I may know what I'm talking about. Man, they're everywhere. Billion-dollar industry. All to keep our coffee. Hot cocoa tea. You just kept it in there over time. What would happen? It'd cool. You know, there's a tendency for coolness even in the spiritual life. Part of it is this reason. Distance from Christ. It is revealed by the callousness of our spirit. Distance from Christ can be revealed by the callousness of our spirit. Would you look with me in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. By the way, come to Sunday school. Oh, praise the Lord. We're learning things in Sunday school. In our class, we're just about to start Revelation here, and we've heard some great notes, great things about it this morning already. Brother Potter teaching that. But come to Sunday school. We got a class for everybody to help learn the Bible. Revelation chapter 2 is where we're at. Let's take a look at it and look at verse number 1 with me, please. And I'll begin. The Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, Jesus here, sharing the vision to Apostle John. He says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, he says, I have somewhat against thee, because what? Thou hast left thy first love." He compliments. He observes, he points out, man, you have done some amazing things. You've labored for me. You've been patient in how I have revealed myself in the power of God and helped reach other people. You have not borne evil amongst yourselves. And those that claim to be apostles, false prophets, man, you found them out and you've called them what they are, liars. What a great thing. But you've done it all without loving me, he says. Without loving me. Distance from Christ is revealed by callousness. Would you notice verse number one, something very interesting? He says this, these things saith he that holdeth seven stars in his right hand. And what's the next phrase? Who walketh in the what? Midst. Now notice verse number four. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Do you know there are no secret conversations or unholy spirits in our church that Jesus does not know about? Zero. He sees it all. Distance from Christ. Here's some things I believe the Bible points out that it can be revealed. Our callousness to the Savior. He says, you've left your first love. You don't love me. Remember when you used to love me? Now you don't. And the things you do are more out of discipline or perhaps even ritual. No love for the Savior any longer. There's a callousness to sin. We'll allow it. We'll tolerate it. We'll let it go on. We'll do nothing about it. There's a tendency to selfishness. Selfishness. Oh, my Christian life's all about me. God, where have you been? Man, remember, I've asked you about these 10 things, and where's it at? We looked at prayer last Sunday night. What a blessing to look at prayer in the Bible. Amen. And see Jesus' prayers. See how he operated. We found out that one of the reasons God, or Jesus, who is God, went to the Heavenly Father over and over and over again, sometimes days at a time, it's because he loved the Heavenly Father, and the Father loved him. And yet we can get callous. And then, of course, there's a callousness to reaching souls, to reaching a lost soul for Christ. If you're saved and born again this morning, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you go back in your memory for a moment and think about who was it that gave you the gospel that you first remember? Who was it that first said, you know what? Here's what the Bible says about us. We're sinners. Here's what the scripture says, that sin demands a payment. That payment is separation from God today, but also separation forever from him in the future life. That after this death, that payment begins in a very terrible, torturous way, as sin deserves to be. First, a place called hell. Hell's a real place, folks. Did you know souls are in hell right now? Right now. I won't tell you what time it is, but it's Sunday morning. They're there. And according to the scriptures, they're thinking about all those who are back here. And hoping they don't make it here. Then the lake of fire eventually, that judgment follows. This is the destiny of every soul that does not receive Christ as Savior. You hold the key to your neighbor. You hold the key to that coworker. You hold the key to the family member or whoever. You hold the keys. Here's the way to unlock the chains and get Christ in your life. And yet, we get callous. Why do we need revival? Because of our tendency for coolness. Closeness to Christ is revealed by coming to him. By coming to him. Would you turn with me to the book of Leviticus? Go back to the Old Testament with me. This is nothing new. Coming to the Lord. Oftentimes, we sit around, we just wait for him to do something. Lord, we've been asking you, where are you at? Well, guess what? Right from the beginning, the Bible says God wanted us to come to him. Leviticus chapter number 32. Would you look there, please? Well, don't look in Leviticus chapter 32. It's not there. Somebody pointed out. But it's the time when Moses stood in the midst while the children of Israel were dancing around. When they stood there after worshiping the idols that Aaron had put together, that just came out of the fire, he said. You students of the Bible, you can tell me where that's at in just a bit. Exodus 32. Thank you, son. Takes a Bible student, amen. Let's go there. See if he's right. Exodus 32. Now look at verse number 26 with me, please. And he was standing there, and people were standing against the Lord, but Moses had come down from the mount just after receiving the word of God. And there he stood, realized what was going on. And he said in verse number 26, as the people looked on at him, some of them still playing, as the Bible says, which means they were up to sexual behavior. Even says in verse 25, many of them were naked. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? What's the next words? Let him come to me. Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Closeness to Christ is nothing new. God desires you and me to move to him. Matthew 11, verse number 28, here's what he says. We've looked at it many times. He says, come unto me, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'd like you to look at this, Luke chapter 22. Let's go there. Closeness to Christ. It's revealed by coming to him. Luke chapter 22, again, well-known story about one of the disciples. Man, did he have a bad day. First, Jesus told him, here's what you're going to do in the future. He said, no, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I will never turn away from you. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Peter. We're in Luke chapter 22. Look at verse number 54 first, please. Then took they him, that's Jesus, the soldiers, they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's office. Now notice this, and Peter followed afar off. In some sense, he had an idea. He knew that I need to be close to the Savior. As a matter of fact, by the way, we often put Peter in this box that he was the worst disciple that night. How many others followed Jesus? Only one's mentioned in the Bible. Peter did. But things went downhill from there. You know the story. People began to recognize Peter. I remember you. I remember when you know, the feeding of the thousands. I was there. You're one of them. No, it wasn't me. No, it was. I remember you. You were with Jesus. You were the one, the Nazarene. No, it wasn't me. I don't know who you're talking about. And then finally, the Bible says he was asked a third time, and it says he cursed and swore. He cursed and said, it wasn't me. Now look at that moment, verse number 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. This was right as the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, verse 62, and wept bitterly. Closeness to Christ is revealed by coming to him. Peter had a bad day, but we know in the end, following that, Peter returned to Christ. He returned to Christ. Just a few weeks later, he stood at the very place where he denied Jesus in the temple area, and he preached the gospel to those people. The Bible says thousands got saved that day. Man, what a testimony. But it wouldn't have happened that way unless Peter had come. Why do we need revival? Because of our tendency for coolness. Come to Christ. Don't be distant. Number two, Hebrews chapter 4. This is where we find another reason for revival. Hebrews chapter 4. Would you look there, please? And I'm looking at verse number 12. Hebrews 4 and verse number 12 says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Number two reason why we need revival is because of the piercing of preaching. The piercing of preaching, the word of God. Francis Wayland, he was a man that lived many years ago, was a very well-known man in his time, and a brilliant guy from all the history I've read of him. Francis Wayland lived from 1796 to 1865. So he lived to see, he was in America, he lived to see, sadly, some great things, but also the Civil War, and yet see it to an end too. He served as president of Brown University. Brown University still exists today in Providence, Rhode Island. One of the notable things about Brown University, it was the very first Baptist college in America. Rhode Island, you might remember, was the place where Roger Williams was settled and continued to lead a godly group there. He also wrote the biography of Adoniram Judson, Mr. Wayland did. So this man had some influence. And he witnessed the prayer revival of 1857 and 1858, ironically right before the Civil War really broke out. He described the preaching of the day, and this is what he said, as a simplicity of reliance on the power and grace of Christ to aid them and render their work effectual. In a voice scarcely audible, he calls upon God, talking about the preacher of the day, for his blessing upon the congregation. He commences his sermon. He would that the whole world were present to hear the story of redeeming love. He pours out his soul in earnest entreaty. He warns the ungodly as though he and they were already in view of the judgment seat. Words burning and impressive come unbidden to his bursting heart. The time will not allow him to say half that fills his soul. Friends, when we're dedicated to a time of revival, we're open to the preaching of the Word of God. There's something about it that we need a lot of. That's why we set aside a few days. And just a few days really isn't that much. But God says, well, you and I need to understand the piercing power of the Word of God. And God can use preaching to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there, you can. Here's what Paul said to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. And 5, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Number two reason why we need revival in 2020, because of the piercing of the preaching of God's word. Number three reason, follow me here to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy 3, let's join together there, looking at verse number 12, starting there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Why do we need revival in 2020? Number one, because our tendency for coolness. Number two, because of the piercing of the preaching of God's word. Number three, because of the world's rising hostility to the things of God. Because of the world's rising hostility to the things of God. There is a publication put out by group called Family Research Council. I get their regular letters and so forth, and they have a presence in D.C. and they try to promote not just conservative things, but biblical things, and have Bible studies and so forth. And they published a book called "Hostility to Religion: The Growing Threat to Religious Liberty in the United States." You can find it online. It cites from 2003 is the earliest one I noticed, to 2017, it cites 159 court cases in America. Not China, not India, not the United Arab Emirates, in the United States of America, that are attacks on conservative and biblical values. Here's three examples I wanted to share with you. 2013, not long ago. 2013, the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now notice I said from religion, not of religion. The Freedom From Religion Foundation. They are an atheistic group. You may have seen them in the papers or in the news. They sent a letter to Coos Bay, Oregon, demanding that the city remove its Vietnam Veterans Memorial because the memorial included a cross. The memorial stands as of today, so they lost their fight. But it's still under attack. 2016, Eddie and David DeLorme, owners of Kern's Bake Shop in Texas, refused to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. Eddie DeLorme, who is a woman, politely shared the decision was not personal and that she simply wanted to run the business in a way that would please and honor her God. The bakery received threats of violence and even murder on social media. They remain a target of criticism by the LGBT activists today. 2016, the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination released guidance on its new gender identity requirements for public accommodations, meaning, for example, a restroom needs to be used by both men and women, boys and girls, etc., not delineated as one or the other. And that's one example. The guidance stated, a church could be seen as a place of public accommodations if it holds a secular event such as a spaghetti supper that is open to the general public. In a few weeks, we're going to have a fifth Sunday fellowship. You know, we're not going to stop anybody from walking in to have somebody eat and join us. They would have put that under that umbrella as a public accommodation. Massachusetts churches filed suit against the state alleging their constitutional rights were violated by this guidance. The state backed down and revised its guidance to protect churches from such liability, and the churches dismissed their suit. And it goes on and on. 159 that they cited. And I'm sure there's more than that. Friends, the truth of the matter is, things are waxing worse and worse. They are waxing worse and worse. When's Jesus coming? He could wait another 100 years. But what he does want us to do in the meantime is live in the right spirit with him. Revival. Hebrews chapter 10. You were in Hebrews a moment ago. Would you look there again? Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24 and 25. Why do we need revival? Because of the growing hostility to the things of God is getting increasingly worse. Hebrews chapter 10, look there please. Verse 24 and verse 25. Would you look at these verses with me? And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Listen to this phrase. As ye see the day approaching. How many have asked ourselves, how many times have we asked ourselves in the last few years, what is it that the Lord is waiting for? Did you know that prophetically, nothing needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to come? He could come and rapture his saints right now. There is nothing prophetically that needs to be done according to the Word of God that means Jesus must be here by now. He could come any day. He could come today. And he could also wait, as I say, another 100 years or however long. See, the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that Jesus himself said the Father knows. The Father knows. Our Heavenly Father is determining that. But until that day comes, we see it approaching, but until it comes, God says, live in the right spirit in me. Revival. Clean heart. That's why we need it. Let me give you the final one, the final thought. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, let's look there together, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why do we need revival? Number one, because of our tendency for coolness. It's all too easy to be distant from Christ than close to him. Because of the piercing of the preaching of the Word of God. God's Word is powerful, the Bible says. We need more of it, not less. Because of the world's rising hostility, we see the day approaching. We see the world corrupting. We see it continually on the wrong direction. And yet God wants us to live godly in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 gives us the final thought. Because of our desire to continue in the faith. Now notice this. Verse number 14. Would you read this one with me? This is a great verse. Might want to star it in your Bible. Let's take a look at it. Let's read it together. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Let's begin. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue, continue, continue. Don't quit. Continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. We had the privilege yesterday of being with some young people who were playing instruments, kind of showing their talents. And it was a blessing to be there with some of the kids from our church and families. And sometimes, you know, kids, they don't always play well in front of others. One thing I'll tell you about some of our kids that played, they finished. They finished. You know, the truth of the matter is, in the Christian walk, we're not going to make every step that is right. Now, maybe you can, but I have messed up already. I got saved as a little boy, and I'd like to say that everything I did was for the Lord. It's not been. But I do desire to continue in the faith. Do you? If you do, God says, listen, there's a way to help you. There's a way that can help energize our walk, help lead and guide our walk, help us get on the right track again. Amen. It's called revival, renewal, restoration. God says because of our desire to continue in the faith, we need to have periods and times of revival. I want to encourage you on the calendar when those days come, March 15th through the 18th, would you please clear your calendar? Clear your calendar. Instead of being invited to go to something else, invite that person to come with you. Because you know what? You and I aren't the only ones who need to see revival. You and I aren't the only ones who've got some good news and good things to hear about. Everybody else we know needs to hear them too. Christians who continue in the faith and have a vibrant spiritual life make time to invest in hearing from the Lord. Even regular services are important. Revival services, events where the Bible will be shared, are all on the radar of the Christian who seeks revival. All on that radar. Man, I want to be there. Let me ask you this before we close. Will you be that type of Christian in 2020? Will you be that type of Christian? Keeping the things of God on the radar. Oh, we so desperately need it because of our tendency for coolness. Because the piercing of God's word as it's shared. Because the world's hostility is just getting worse. And because our continued walk in the faith can benefit and even take the next step as we seek the Lord in revival. Will you be that type of Christian this year? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to you. I pray the Holy Spirit would have his way right now, Lord, these few moments. That God, you'd speak in such a way that we would come, as the Word of God tells us, come unto the Lord to be on your side. To be on your side. I'm going to ask in just a moment if you are able to stand, but until then, before that, let me ask you this. Do you need Christ as your Savior? I'm going to stand down at the floor. In just a moment, I'll step there. I'd sure like to open up the Bible and show you how easy it is to have the new birth in Christ. And many in this room would rejoice along with you if that's your need. You've never done that. You've never called on Christ for salvation before. Would you make today the day? And second question, Christian friend, Christian, beloved, will we make that decision to be that type of Christian? Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Would you echo David's words? Would you take a moment? In a moment when we sing, would you echo David's words and make the step towards the Lord and see what he can do through revival in you? Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing. I pray you would help us. Right at this moment, may you get the glory through things said and done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we're going to sing. As she begins to play, she make that step. Ask God, Lord, make me that kind of Christian. Make me the one seeking your renewal, revival. Make it a big deal and step out. The front of the building is a place where we designate time between you and God, time between us and him, and that time of prayer or dedication. Would you make it that today? As she plays, ask the Lord. Lord, renew that right spirit. Lord, revive me again. Lord, do what you want to do.